The scripture reading today is from Luke 5, 27 through 31. You can follow along in the bulletin or in the Pew Bible. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth and said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi gave a great banquet for him in the house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with him. The Pharisees and their scribes were complaining to the disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, and I have come to call not the righteous but sinners to repentance."
I invite you to pray with me, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Holy One, for you are our sustenance and joy. Amen. So for human beings, coming to the table for a meal is about more than just plain nourishment. Sociologists and philosophers have long recognized that meals are complex social events that act as tools for building community, tools for shaping and naming what's right, what's wrong, what community looks like. In the ancient world, tables were places where philosophers and teachers could impart their wisdom. They were also a place where the community's identity was marked, was named there. A proverb that dates back to the time of the ancient Near East says this, "I saw them eating and I knew who they were." The company you keep, they say, says something about who you are simply because of who you are with. Now, this was true in ancient Jewish custom as well. Who eats, what you eat, with whom you eat, under what circumstances you eat, all of that had long been practice that was used to define relationships between people and relationships between people and God. Right? In Jesus' time, the society was living under the occupation and oppression of the Roman Empire. The society in which they lived, and unfortunately the influence on the culture of the Jewish religious life because of the society in which they lived, was one in which a privileged few were raised up at the expense of the many. And so society was plagued by food shortages and insecurity, malnutrition and disease. Scarcity was the order of the day. Now, in this social setting, invitations to meals, whether that was a wedding feast, a religious or civic occasion, or simply calling the neighbors in for dinner, invitations were based on balanced reciprocity. And what that means is, I invite you in if you're able to invite me back. And if you're not able to invite me back, I don't invite you in. And the fact that you accept my invitation means you will invite me back. There's not a choice in it. And so, even if you were poor, you would be unable to pay back the invitation. If you happened to be invited, there's no way you could accept. Because paying back isn't just, well, you had this lavish meal and I can afford hot dogs. I have to be able to invite you back in the same manner you provided for me. So food was a social substance. Having meals together was currency within the society where Jesus lived. What you were able and chose to serve expressed your position within that social structure, and it helped define what you thought of others. Because if I invited someone to dinner and I could afford prime rib and serve them hot dogs instead, that told my guest what I thought of them. Currency. Meals were also a way of reinforcing boundaries. So who you invited to the table, who you ate with, established the boundary of who was in and who was out, right? If you weren't allowed to come to the table, you weren't part of the community. And then there were rituals around where to be seated at the table and who was host. Who sat closer? Who sat farther? Who didn't even get a seat at the table because they were not the right gender? And these rituals enforced boundaries about hierarchy and status. And then there were rituals around washing and prayer and cleanliness that set boundaries around who was in and who was out as far as the religious society was concerned. And here we have Jesus in the midst of this, raised in this. And he recognizes in the people a deep hunger for something more than simply bread and status. So while this is the world in which Jesus lived, these are not the rules that he was willing to abide by. In fact, we see through the gospel narratives that Jesus used meals as a way of disrupting social norms, of overturning what was considered appropriate or standard behavior. So this year we're journeying with the Gospel of Luke as our primary passage. And the Gospel of Luke is actually the gospel that has the most stories centered around meals. It is one of the common driving elements across the narrative in the Gospel of Luke. There are at least 8 occasions where Jesus is taking a meal with someone, and that meal is important to the teaching that happens. There are at least 2 more occasions in which it's implied that meal time is where that they're having a meal together, although that may not be the focus of the teaching. And so each one of these 10 stories shows us some aspect of Jesus's ministry, and it provides a setting for major teaching moments in the Gospel of Luke. The meal stories in every gospel have a major teaching moment associated with them, every one. So we remember together the story of Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, the wee little man who climbed up in a tree to see, right? You remember that story if you're raised in the church as a little child? In those days, a tax collector was considered to be worse than a thief. Worse than a thief. And so Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, right? So how do you get worse than a thief? And that's what he was. And yet Jesus not only speaks to Zacchaeus in public, invites him to join him, then says, and I'm going to your house for dinner. I'm going to dine with you, and you're going to be my host. Doing this in such a public way, he intentionally reshaped the message of what was socially acceptable in that community. The same is true for today's story about Levi, who was also a tax collector, but Levi and sinners ate with Jesus. I mean, come on, if you're a religious teacher, of course you're going to hang out with sinners, right? Because that's what you're supposed to do, is fix the sinners. But eat with them? Oh, heavens, we don't do that. We stay with our own kind. By eating with them, Jesus identified that every person deserves a place at the table. Then we look at the 11th chapter of Luke. We find a Pharisee, one of the religious leaders, and he invited Jesus to dine with him. And Jesus went, because Jesus ate with anybody who was willing to eat with him. And so he went in and took his seat at the table. And the Pharisee began to admonish him because he did not do the ritual cleansing before he came to the table. This was more than a simple faux pas, because Jesus' response to him was in essence an assault on the religious traditions of the society that was happening then. Right? You care more about your rituals than you do about people. What he said was, what is unclean comes from within a person, not what's outside. And then we come to the 14th chapter of Luke. There's a whole lot of them. I won't do them all. Where he's telling the folks, and these are his followers, that your social priorities are not in line with what God desires of community. You fight to sit at the seat of honor at the table. Any seat is a seat of honor at the table. When you invite people for meals, you shouldn't invite the people who can pay you back. That's not the reward to seek. When you invite people for meals, invite people who can't invite you back, who can't pay you back in the way that you expect to be paid. Invite all who have need. So through these stories and others like them about Jesus' table fellowship, we recognize he has this subversive action that's going on that reshapes the social and religious construct of his day. Embodied in the fellowship that he acted out at the table was a message of equality, was a message of distributive justice. That means to each as they have need, from each as they have means. Life is abundance. We got the money. It might just be in our pocket, waiting to be given away. And a message as well of removing these false barriers that divide us. Who's in, who's out, who's good, who's bad, who's right, who's wrong? What God desires, Jesus said, is having people around the table who don't look all the same, who don't always think like us and act like us and walk like us and sing like us and dance like us. Having people around us who are different from us helps us understand the beauty of God a little bit better. Invites us and sometimes challenges us to grow into a more full likeness of the face of Christ. This is the call to radical hospitality that Jesus gives, to risk our lives and our way of living in order to experience the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is found when those on the margins are placed front and center at the table. Because when we do that, it reminds us that community is only as strong as the one we deem or make weakest. So in the kingdom, hospitality is freely given, no strings attached, no stipulation is placed on it. Jesus teaches us to welcome the other to the table, rich and poor, as our song says, all ages and races, ethnicities, religions, sexual orientations, and gender identities. Welcome at the table, in Jesus' understanding, is about revising the balance of power, removing human-created systems of hierarchy, creating instead a system of equity and of belonging, for each and for all. And that's up to us. Our song goes on to say, God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion at peace. At the table Jesus prepares, you and I then become the bread for one another to nourish and sustain. Gunilla Norris writes this, having shared our bread, we know that we are no longer hungry. It is enough that you see me for myself, that I see you for yourself, that we bless what we see and do not borrow, do not use one another. This is how we know we're no longer hungry, that the world is full of terror, full of beauty, and yet we are not afraid to find solace here, to be bread for each other, to love. So who is it that is missing from your table? Who is it that needs to be invited to sit with you so that you might learn about the things of life together? This is how we know we are no longer hungry. That the world is full of terror and full of beauty, and yet we are not afraid to be bread for each other. Amen.